Und jetzt Vollgas über den Gaumen. Das schmeckt so gut. Und noch ein bisschen mehr. Und?
Moment mal. Hier steht 100% ohne künstliche Zusätze. Nur mit natürlichen Zutaten.
Frosta Butter Chicken mit jeder Menge Bäm. Ohne Bäh. Das ist das Frosta Reinheitsgebot. 100% ohne Zusätze. Schon seit 2003.
To the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am joined, as I am every week, by Ryan Nanny.
Hi.
By Holly Anderson. And by Michael Server on the ones and twos.
Hello.
Jason Kirk will not be joining us this week as he is
getting his goofy head grafted on for Epcot citizenship.
Yep.
But which country is goofy?
And which part of the body?
What country do you
It's gotta be an Epcot country.
It does have to be an Epcot country.
Perfect. I'm gonna say Norwegian goofy for Jason. Goofy.
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 Gorsh.
Goofy kinda sounds Norwegian, doesn't he?
You know, he's like a tall dude. Norway's a real good call for him. If not Norway, then Goofy is French. Goofy.
Goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but, Spanish,
but not Parisian French. Like,
No, he'd be like Jerry Lewis French, right? Because like
yeah.
The French,
yeah, Epcot French.
Yeah, the French were like the French would ascribe lofty qualities to his physical comedy that simply did not exist, right? He's mm-hmm. like, this devastating critique of the bourgeoisie and their endless striving is indicative of everything Goofy is when he is
Flaubert.
Learning the recreations.
Yeah. Flaubert, have you seen this Flaubert? It is a magical substance.
You saying there's a Flaubert?
This brilliant satire of skiing is more than slapstick.
Yeah. Okay, learning to ski is the best Disney movie ever made.
It is. It really is the best
Gustav,
Disney
product. They have made a whole movie about you. They've turned you into a bouncy substance.
When he says yahoo hoo hoo, it really, it is a cry of pain and amusement.
I'm pretty sure this is on Disney Plus year-round, by the way. So if you don't know what we're talking about, go watch the 1954... educational cartoon they made with Goofy about learning to ski.
Yes, or as they call it for some reason, sheeing.
It's because it's a joke. They're trying to be British.
It's so good. Okay. Yes. I wanted to open...
Do not be alarmed. It is only fresh air.
By giving an update on an important criminal case, a serious legal case in the world of the NCAA. Which is about Jim Harbaugh at the University of Michigan. So Jim Harbaugh was initially suspended for 4 games and then decided...
Wrong.
Ryan, wrong. Can you take over here? Thanks.
3?
Ryan, can
initially,
you take
initially
over here?
Initially, wasn't it 4?
Ryan,
initially,
can you take
he
over
wasn't,
here?
Initially, he wasn't suspended for anything. Initially, Michigan and the NCAA had worked towards a negotiated resolution by which... he would serve a 4-game suspension. But seemingly on the NCAA side of things and not the stubborn Jim Harbaugh side of things, that agreement fell apart and it didn't look like there would be any games missed this season at least.
Then what happened?
Then yesterday? I think it was yesterday.
Something like this. We're recording on Tuesday, August 22nd.
Michigan decided as part of some self-imposed penalties... to impose a 3-game suspension of James Harrison Harbaugh. I don't think that's his middle name, but it's fun to say.
It's Jehoshaphat.
Oh, sorry.
I'm pretty sure.
And yeah, that's where... But now we have to see, what will the NCAA do with that? Maybe 3 is fine. It seems weird that 3 would be fine if 4 was a number that they didn't like before. But I don't know. So that's where we're at.
So we've got to work with what we've got here, the best available information that we have at the moment. And can you remind us again, anybody, what the first three games of that Michigan schedule are.
Oh, God. All right.
Jason has already run through this at length, but I feel like
I can provide accurate information here. I'm positive.
Okay, because last time, not so much.
I know who the first game is.
The first game on Saturday, September 2nd, is going to be at home against East Carolina.
Yep.
The second game is also going to be at home against UNLV.
Yep.
And then in the return of the savior, Scott Loeffler, the Bowling Green is going to be visiting Ann Arbor.
Okay, so if
if you bought home tickets to Michigan games this year, woof, what a fucking lineup you have been given. The other home games are Rutgers, Indiana, Purdue, and then the Ohio State game at the end of the year. Sorry, I just had to note that.
I'm loving it. Speaking of which, the NCAA and Michigan have started to kind of push back on the notion, perhaps because it is stupid, that Harbaugh is being suspended in any way, shape, or form because he ate 2 half-pound burgers for breakfast with recruits and then lied about it. In my opinion, I'm going to stand by our reporting here because it's funny and say that this is exactly what's happening. And I believe the punishment should fit the crime.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the punishment should fit the crime. And I believe that Michigan as a football team will be just fine for this first 3 weeks without their beloved skipper. But he's suspended from coaching. I don't see anything in here that says he's suspended from the student section.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And this is where I started. And I've come up with just like a helpful list of tasks to... Just to give him something to do, to give him a sense of purpose. If there's one thing that we know Coach Harbaugh is known for, it is his aimlessness when away from the football field. So he's a working dog. We got to give him a task. And we also want the team and the community to know that he's not far. Like Elf on a Shelf, if Elf on a Shelf had weird fucking opinions about abortion.
Are you proposing a... like a 3 week long, like a fortnight and a half,
what I'm
never
proposing,
forget.
List of ideas here. Okay. Idea one, and this is just in the order that I wrote them down. I have already submitted this to the Michigan Board of Regents. I have not heard back at this time. I'll let you know if I do. Idea one is Harbaugh dresses as the Hamburglar and throws cheeseburgers as though he was as out of a t-shirt cannon, perhaps, to the capacious and roaring student section at the Big House for these first three games.
Okay, yeah, like it.
Idea two, Harbaugh dresses as a cheeseburger himself.
Mayor McCheese.
Listen, between these two giant yellow M companies, it's hard to guess which one is more litigious with its trademark, so I would never suggest that he directly... take on a copyrighted character, and also the thought of him as a civil servant is a nightmarish one.
Yeah, that said, I bet if he dressed as the Burger King, Burger King wouldn't say shit.
No,
Burger King would
be
like, thank you so much.
Burger King's got their own problems.
I actually wouldn't be mad if the entire, for the ECU game, if the entire Michigan roster came out in Burger King masks.
Mm.
To show support.
That's good. We're adding to the list. But the one
some V for Vendetta.
That's terrifying.
But I wanted to really do something for the fans because we all know we have a huge swath of Michigan partisans that listen to this show, that turn up for us at the Charity Bowl, that turn up for us in person at our live show in Ann Arbor, still my favorite show we've ever done, welcome us into their homes, into their tailgates, time after time, and we wanted to give you guys a little bolstering, a little bucking up for these first three games of the season, and that's where I got the idea of, well, how do we usually memorialize these things with patches, right? Well, patches are tricky, and I don't necessarily want you to mess up your finest Canada Goose or whatever it is you guys wear in September up there. I don't really know. It's hot. Probably not Canada Goose. Maybe Canada Goose with the sleeves cut off. But at any rate, that could compromise the insulation. So this is where I hit upon the idea of helmet decals. We get little cheeseburger helmet decals, and we pass them out to We pass them out to our friends to be distributed in the stands, amongst your Greek organizations. If anybody wants to get them into the locker room and put them on the actual helmets.
Yeah.
Just Michigan running out there with a, maybe it says Jim and the block letter, and then the little block letter is the golden arches.
No, you put the Harbaugh glasses on the burger.
Oh my God, there yeah. it is.
See, yeah. in my head it was going to be shirtless Jim, but with giant cheeseburger head.
Instead. Okay. maybe that's a tattoo we can all commit to getting.
Like some true Silent Hill nightmare bullshit.
I'm picturing it in like a tasteful Brad Bird watercolor.
That'd be good too.
Not Brad yeah. Bird. Who's the artist?
Brandon yeah, no, Bird.
Thank yeah, Brandon you. Bird. Brad Bird's yeah. the director.
Yeah.
Server, fix that. the look of contempt that you just gave me.
Super gave you the same look that a dog gives you when it's like, I'm not doing that.
Just a racial slur flies out of your mouth and you're like, server, fix that.
What the fuck?
Any of us might do.
No! Any of us might not do that. What are you saying?
I'll bring it back right when Spencer said that you said a racial slur. No.
Thanks for making it worse, Spencer.
Yeah, so anyway, I think the cheeseburger glasses combo is a go. And hopefully by the time you hear this tomorrow, we should have a reasonable facsimile of this up in the shutdown full shop at preownedairboats.com.
Preownedairboats.com.
By handfuls and handfuls of these lovingly homemade mailed to you by the internet Harbaugh stickers. If you order them as soon as possible, they should almost certainly get to you
by the end of the suspension.
Listen, we promise not to send you prescription medicine.
Oh,
this year.
Why?
So far,
why would you promise that?
And so because so far we've delivered on that.
Oh,
we
I
haven't
guess
delivered
so.
As right. it were.
Yeah. So, but that's no. But when he comes back. That's when we introduced the some gave all with a hand holding the burger.
It's all gave some and a 1 pound burger in the hand, and it's some gave all and a 1 pound burger in the other hand.
Okay.
So it's like she would give immediately sliders. You gotta have some variety then.
Sliders.
Should we do a little podcast business while we're at it?
That was for the Jerry O'Connell heads out there. Yeah, let's.
Podcast business. What's the business? Podcast business. I wish the dog would shut up because she's interrupting the podcast.
You sang me onto the 1 and 3. How
yeah, that was pretty
that?
Cruel of him. I noticed
that. Was
that.
So mean.
I like Harry Connick Jr. I'm just throwing extra measures in there to get
first.
The
he says you're uttering racial slurs. Then he puts you on the 1 and 3. He's really, really trying to put you in a bad spot, Holly. Spencer, who is bringing our audience this week's episode?
Oh, this episode is brought to you by Coors Light. That's mountain fresh refreshment. Made to chill.
You fucked it up already.
That's fine. It was
I
close.
Like my course like mountain cold personally, but
mountain cold refreshment.
It's made to chill regardless.
Yes. Podcast business.
You know what I like about Coors Light? Real quick before the ad, is that every once in a while their PR team will just drop cases of Coors Light on our doorstep.
Yeah, we got some this week.
I know we got some this week. Like this is the best sponsorship we've ever had because
it's
they
it's
come
kind of like
warning.
The reverse of the dad in Angels in the Outfield where he's yeah. just gone and you're like, when will he come? When will Dermot Mulroney come back? I think it's Dermot Mulroney. In this case, Coors Light just shows up and he's like, hey, son. The Angels stink, but I still love you because the Angels do stink.
Sometimes people wonder what it's like to have a sponsor, and sometimes that sponsor is just we. Pay you to say words on our show, but we're still a terrible company at heart. Even the products that you pay for, hi AT&T. But what that it's been like 2 years. They're not listening
it's
to this.
It's fine.
Can I tell you a true story? Mm-hmm. Somebody who works at AT&T reached out to us after they heard about all of our internet troubles at the start of this off season. I was like, you know, hey, you used to sponsor the show. We should help you out. And I was like, oh yeah, sure. Can you help us figure out what's wrong? And they ghosted us.
Yep. Maybe that was their honest answer. Can you help us out?
This is the best form of sponsorship where you just get beer appearing on your doorstep with no pattern. It's just like, hey, have a great weekend.
Yep.
Anyway, of course, I appreciate you as a sponsor. I know that you believe in us.
We have two podcast business items that are literally about the business of the podcast, sort of.
That's a little weird.
First,
take it slow. We'll tease them in.
So Jason's not here, but he asked us to let people know that The Watch Grid will be available on for free on his Substack.
Ryan, what's the Watch Grid?
JasonKirk.fyi is the Substack. Holly, your father is the biggest fan of the Watch Grid, is he not? You're the one who should explain the Watch Grid. This is an important part of your family.
The Watch Grid that Jason puts together, that Jason has put together for years, is to me a tool that's as important to the football season as LSUfootball.net. LSUfootball.net will tell you when the games are, but Jason will tell you what the games are. If you've never seen the Watch Grid, it is a handy-dandy dispatch handed out once a week during the college football season that explains which games you should definitely watch, which games you should consider watching, and which games are, as Jason puts, well, it's football. And my father, who is a man very much of his time, will print out the Watch Grid on a printer in his home and keep it next to him in the good chair.
This is itinerary.
Now, he had problems for a couple of years where the Watch Grid was taking an email newsletter form, and he didn't know how to print emails.
Been there.
So just for my dad, I guess. Thank you, Jason. Jason has moved the Watch Grid onto Substack, and I'll tell you something about Bill. Bill can print a web page. Bill can print the shit out. Like most of us, Bill got his start at SB Nation printing out web pages. And I'm in full color, by the way. So you get the red, red, yellow, green in the grid. And also, every week, just to add an extra layer to it, you asked, and so you're getting the whole story.
Yeah.
When it is done, when he has done it for the week, he will take a picture of the printed out Watch Grid and send it to me with a little, with like him doing a thumbs up in the corner. Not an emoji, with his actual hand.
Yeah, sure.
So anyway,
I did it.
There has never been. No, it's more like, I'm ready, troop.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, that's his game face.
I'm doing my part.
There is no greater cross-generational college football tool than the Watch Grid, and it returns to us this year. Is Jason not merciful?
If you are tired of grade inflation,
sure, we all are.
In this country, the Watch Grid is for you, because let me tell you what, unsparing, there will be sections of just it's football. Mm-hmm. This is not a place.
This is not graded on a curve of, okay, the top five games are watchable. No. When this is a weekend where you can go and acknowledge your family or show up at a wedding or do yard work all weekend, you can trust Jason to tell you so.
The other piece of podcast business, Shutdown Fullcast After Dark, will be returning. That's right. For the 2023 season. It will not be back week zero.
We've never brought it back week zero. Nobody panic. We've never done it in week zero.
It's just nice to know. You know.
People always panic. We've never done it in week zero.
And we don't know where it will be.
So listen, let's talk. This is not a matter of Fullcast being ill prepared. Y'all know what Twitter is doing right now. It's August 22nd. By the time the show comes out tomorrow, Twitter may be gone. We have been watching all summer looking for stabilization in one direction or the other of whether or not this thing should tilt or not. And we want to land the show ultimately where most of our audience can get to it. And, you know, a lot of you have left Twitter, and we have less idea than usual of whether Twitter Spaces would actually work. Everybody we used to work with behind the scenes there to see if we could, you know, break their website again with your mighty flow of traffic has been fired. No one works there anymore. But also, we've never done this show on YouTube. We've never tried to do this show as an Instagram Live. So what you're going to get in a couple weeks is either a Twitter After Dark show that may or may not work, or us trying this on a brand new platform in week one. And if you were around for the launch of After Dark, you remember what that was like. So, for once, this is not our fault. Y'all know what Twitter is doing, but what we can tell you is that just keep in touch with our social feeds, keep in touch with the four of us on Twitter. All four of us are also over on Blue Sky as well, along with Cerber and along with the show account. when we figure out what we're doing. And the reason we're putting this off to the last minute is because Twitter changes every goddamn day. And we don't. And it's
but
usually
also,
for the worst.
Also, it's the most forecast thing to do.
Also, it is the most forecast thing to do. It would be the most forecast thing to just keep it there in the creaky, dark, spider-filled corner. But anyway, when we know, you'll know. So just keep up with us on social. We are doing this. What we can guarantee is that on Sunday, knock, knock.
Not this Sunday. The next
not
one.
This Sunday. But on Sunday of week one, there will be a recorded form of whatever we do for After Dark. You will get this in your podcast feed, in the main Shutdown Fullcast feed, along with the Fullcast After Dark feed. For those of you who just for some reason want to roll with that. So just keep in touch with us on social. When we have figured out what the fuck to do with this, because we do want to keep doing it. We love it. We know you guys love it. The internet is just shifting beneath our feet at the moment. When we know, you will know. But you will have a recording of whatever we do no matter what. If we end up having to just record a normal-ass podcast on Saturday night to drop for you guys on Sunday morning, we're going to do that. We would much rather have the live element because we want to hang out with you guys on Saturday night. We know a lot of people love it.
How else will we celebrate Indiana beating Ohio State week one?
Seriously, how else? But anyway, that's about where we are, which is to say we don't know where we are, but for once, it's not our fault. Don't yell at Ryan.
All you have to do on midnight local time, on Labor Day weekend on Saturday, the night of Saturday, not early Saturday morning.
Go to your closest Friday night.
Go to your closest Cracker Barrel. Spin in a circle 6 times, chanting Smooth Spencer with each rotation. And on the 6th rotation, Smooth Spencer will appear to you and tell you where the Fullcast After Dark is at that
like
point.
Like a thaumatrope from hell.
Yeah, I'll be nude. I'll be nude. Don't worry.
Oh,
that's
don't worry.
That's the only way to prove he's smooth. It's not sexual. Yep.
But like, if he's spinning, you're gonna hear like you're gonna hear it flapping. And
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know
yeah,
how I
yeah.
Feel about
sure.
That.
Yeah, you're gonna be like, yeah, you're gonna be like weird bat, weird stinky bat coming for me.
Big bear bat.
Like a bear, but a bat.
Bats
but
are fundamentally
shaved.
Always naked, but.
Giant kinkajou comes for you,
Albert. Let me get weird.
Anyway, we love making half of our living on this. Shrinking ice flow of a Nazi-infested website.
The other half, defense contracts.
Hey.
Is that not...
What's wrong with being a war criminal?
Speaking of war crimes, I have some South Carolina news that's breaking during the podcast that I think is worth
Again?
Mentioning.
I don't know what this is, so I'm excited.
Do they know how this worked out for them last time?
From Brandon Marcello, the national reporter for 247 Sports.
Hey, Brandon.
Brandon has some news for us, and I mean, when I say news, I mean earth-shattering news.
Oh, no.
Darude, the artist behind Sandstorm, will hold a concert on South Carolina's
what?
Campus before the Gamecocks host Kentucky on November 18th!
Oh, well,
fuck yeah!
Wait. Is he gonna play more than one song?
Probably not.
Does he have more than two hours
of Sandstorm?
Just gonna be Eagles covers.
He's gonna Cotton Eye Joe. We're gonna get Cotton Eye Joe Sandstorm.
Yeah.
You've never heard Hotel California until you've heard Darude cover it.
I can confidently say that South Carolina is going to fucking boat race the Tar Heels because I drove to Columbia on Sunday and drove back on Monday, and coming to Charlotte. From where I am in the Piedmont area of North Carolina, and then coming back to Charlotte from the Midlands, where Columbia is, there are billboards all up and down the side, all up and down the highway that say a sandstorm is coming to Charlotte.
Oh,
and
no.
It is some of the most badass branding I've ever seen in my entire life.
How many people from Charlotte think this is about a mosque and are going to start burning the billboards down?
I'm on a podcast with Felder. I will not disparage Charlotte openly.
Oh, shit, he's not here. He ain't here.
It's cop town.
It's a terrible place, and it's weird that he likes it because we love him so much.
It's not my favorite North Carolina city. It's not even in my top five, but
top five North Carolina cities. Go, server. Go. Top five.
Winston-Salem.
Hell yeah.
Asheville.
Yeah.
Where's Wilmington?
Wilmington is number 3.
Thank you. Is Biltmore a city?
No, that's technically Asheville. That's just rich Asheville. That's Republican Asheville.
But tulips, man.
Yeah.
How about Mount Airy?
No, Mount Airy doesn't make the list.
Jesus. You contemplate a great deal in the idea of a great North Carolinian city.
Yeah, no, listen, Mount Airy is really cool. It's actually Mayberry. It's the real Mayberry, North Carolina. My grandfather looked just like Andy Griffith and was a security guard at the mall, and people asked to take their picture with him all the time.
Sir, but you're from the area. How old were you when you realized the name was not Mount Airy like I thought it was? And it was just like, this is where the mountains are. And
this is where I'm learning it, so.
Oh, yeah, no. I knew that. I knew that from early on. I knew that everything in the show was kind of backwards. Like, they called it Mount Pilot. But that's actually Pilot Mountain, which is a really cool place here.
We're friends.
Southport would make my list, which is near Wilmington, and they film like a Nicholas Sparks thing there, so it's kind of lame for that, but it's actually a really cool little town, and they have one of my favorite music stores.
Wait, is it one of the Nicholas Sparks thing where there's inexplicably a ghost in there the whole time and you're not supposed to know it?
Maybe, I don't know. I just know that my sister-in-law was like, they filmed this here, and I was like, God.
Nicholas Sparks, do a Die Hard movie.
Oh, no.
Nicholas Sparks movies, as they go on, gradually become less and less relatable the more money he makes, right? This is haunted by the ghost of a man who was in love with not paying taxes.
Yeah, he's on like Knights in Rodanthe level money right now. Yeah.
Did we get five?
He's basically
Diane
Lane.
Did we get to five?
No, Boone is the number five.
Yeah. See, Boone is my number one. Mm. Boone's number one.
We've gotten some new listeners since then, so I will tell the story of my high school boyfriend who went to his student orientation at Boone and met his RA when his RA came flying down the hall wearing a gold lamé thong and angel wings and riding a skateboard. Boone is a terrific place.
Hmm. Yeah. Boone is number one. Silva's number two. That whole Silva, Cashers, Western North Carolina area is awesome. Asheville's three.
Y'all overrate Asheville.
Asheville's like doable.
When I rate
Asheville, to be fair and to defend Holly a little bit here, I'm rating the Asheville that I used to go to because I don't go there anymore.
Not the Asheville that's like Austin aspirant.
Yeah, you just can't find anywhere
to
eat.
Look, we're hippies.
Yeah.
Let's have some toppers.
I have friends that live there, so I usually get to like stay on the outskirts and not really get into it. But
I'm going to put Blowing Rock up there.
Blowing Rock, very bougie.
Yeah, they have, absolutely. Like, what, you think I'm going to have a bad time?
It's bougie Boone. Yeah, no, it's bougie Boone.
Yeah, no, you think I'm going to get the cheap foam pillows? No, baby.
Yeah.
This fat head needs a down.
Ooh, what town has, let's go blow past bougie. Which town, where's the old Edwards?
Oh, that's Highlands.
North Carolina has
Highlands.
Okay, I got to put Highlands in there because North Carolina has some sneaky, excellent spas.
Yeah.
Anyway, we won't be in any of these places, but can I declare right now that I've never wanted to go to Columbia on purpose or by accident in my life, but this feels like our meetup for this year. At the Sandstorm. This is also the first game of the season in which it will drop below 90 in that stadium, unless it's raining.
2 years ago, I swore I would never return to Williams-Brice Stadium.
It is a deeply unpleasant place, and I say that with so much respect.
I will go back for Drude.
Yeah.
I'll break that. I'll break that claim.
Do you know how powerful they're going to be? They're going to win like 58-0. They're going to be beating the hell out of anybody wearing anything other than South Carolina gear. They're going to tear chunks of concrete up with their bare hands.
Mac's going to retire on the spot.
Yeah. I've had it. If I hear that goddamn song one more time.
They're doing this before the Kentucky game, right?
Oh, I thought you said North Carolina. Oh,
no,
okay.
No. I think Server's saying they are powered up by this news and will use it to crush. Because I think what will happen instead is they will host Darude for this concert and then lose to Kentucky like 15-10.
No, that sounds
something
about right.
Just
Cox.
which is to say we're going.
A South Carolina fan would be the first to tell you this, right? Like, hey, you guys are going to beat their ass because Darude's there. And they're like, nope, we're losing 17-11.
Somehow the punter's going to throw two picks. It's going to be a nightmare.
Unlike Tennessee, I've never seen a South Carolinian win a fight in a Kroger, and this game has big Kroger energy.
Put him in
How
a piggly
many years
wiggly,
do you think they've
advantage.
Been asking Darude, and he's finally like, oh, fucking fine, I will come do your call. Oh,
did,
God
like,
damn it.
Did his residuals expire from something?
Could be.
If you're a Darude financial planner, please contact us.
Financial planner.
I hope he only plays new shit. I hope he owns.
When he gets in there, he's like, "Hey guys, I've been really getting into Ambien."
Or he just plays nothing but shotgun sound effects and sirens nonstop. For, that would be
would
awesome.
Love that.
That would South Carolina anthem.
Yeah. So sorry, I had you
no,
will agree
you.
That was worth. That was worth interrupting everything and
if
stopping
that was
the
worth,
entire show.
Is there any new business? Is there any other new business before we proceed to the news of the day, which is our reader submissions?
No.
All right. Folks, a short time ago, upon the platforms of Twitter and Blueski, we asked for your... we've done this before, so let's specify. We asked for your boldest predictions for the 21 season. Guys, what do we mean by bold predictions? Do we mean accurate?
They can be accidentally accurate, but yeah. They shouldn't be aiming for accuracy.
The most the inadvertently accurate are blessed are the inadvertently accurate here. When it comes to our bold predictions episodes, so I'm gonna just read through a selection of these, and I would love to hear the assessments from our 3-person panel.
I'm gonna do grunt based grades if that's all right.
Okay. All right. From reader Alexander, Florida will be better than last year and finish 5-7. No, don't forget we have to grade these predictions both in terms of what
boldness.
We think of the prediction and the boldness of the prediction.
I think it could be
an accurate prediction, but I don't think it's very bold given the trajectory of the program. So I'll give accurate but not bold.
But Spencer, I thought Billy was figuring it out.
He is, but this ain't the year.
Okay. All right. From reader Michael Gallagher, Alabama will win it all.
That seems somewhat bold considering the rest of the conversation around that team preseason. I mean, I know a lot of people have basically been saying, like, well, it's going to be Georgia and Alabama again, but I think it's kind of bold to say they are because it's a warning sign that they don't have a quarterback right now.
It's,
which is fun because the rest of the West is, the West has kind of taken over as the SEC East crab pots of old. Is that too far to say?
Yeah.
It is too far to say.
A little
it's
bit.
Bold. It's bold in the way that ordering seafood from a restaurant that's not known for seafood is bold. You
I'm
know,
English casting there. Like,
yeah, it's not like
okay, it's ordering seafood in College Station.
Sure. I'm gonna try this Wendy's fish sandwich. I bet it's good.
But why are you quoting me?
reader Antifaldo says New Year's Bowl UConn.
All right. Now I gotta look at bowl schedule. Please hold.
Yeah, hold on. Like, yeah, are you getting on a technicality? Because you're
that's,
like, oh,
that's
look,
what we have to look at. That's what we have to look
bowl.
At. Hold on. All right.
God damn you, Nick. From
okay, so research. I'll go through the options. The ReliaQuest Bowl, formerly known as the Outback Bowl, can't take UConn. Would have to things would have to fall apart for them to take UConn. The Cheez-It Citrus Bowl also can't take UConn. The Fiesta Bowl. Also can't take UConn. So now we are saying UConn makes one of the playoff semifinals or one of these other bowls just completely breaks its existing contract.
Bold as hell. Accurate, not at all.
Okay, that's fair. Have we looked at UConn's schedule this year? Is that a thing we want to do right now?
Not at all.
You can ask me that any day, and you know
hey,
what I'm going to say,
what,
Ryan?
Let's look at
yes.
Let's look at a different schedule because... reader Wicked People suggests the return of 9 Windiana.
God. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to combine these two because now you've led me to this dark game. We are going to go through UConn's schedule and Indiana's schedule. And as the three of you have to come to a consensus as to if one of these teams is going to win 9 games, you have to tell me which one it's going to be. Who do you want to start with, UConn or Indiana?
UConn.
Let's start with UConn because I love independence.
Okay. Opening game, home game against NC State. Then a road game against Georgia State. Home against FIU. Home against Duke and Utah State back-to-back. On the road against Rice. Home against USF. Road game at Boston College.
I'm on not the road making at, fun of you. This is too fast for me to try and count.
Okay, I'll start over, and you can you can here. One of you decide. Spencer, you're going to count.
Can we do
losses.
The can we do I'm, the up down as we go?
I'm counting.
All right, NC State. What are we giving that?
That's chaos. We that's can't an L. count that.
No,
that's
okay. an L.
Georgia State.
Man, I don't know.
Dub.
FIU.
Dub.
Duke.
No.
Okay, 2-2. Utah State.
Is that at Utah State or is that at home?
At East Hartford.
3.
Okay.
Dub. Okay. Rice.
Dub.
4.
Yeah.
USF.
They're bad.
Yeah.
5. Boston College.
Is that in Chestnut Hill?
It is. I don't think that should matter that much, but okay.
Yeah. 5.
That's 6 now.
I would take that.
No, I don't take it. I'll
oh, you got it. Okay, 5.
Okay.
Tennessee and Knoxville.
L.
Okay. JMU in Virginia.
L.
I don't know.
Yeah. Come on. Dukes.
Dukes.
You know, win the Sun Belt. Can they win the Sun Belt?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I thought you meant that. I thought you meant that JMU was going. I had it backwards. I am pro JMU. Sorry.
Sacred Heart.
What?
Win. bowl. We're at bowl.
And ending with UMass in Massachusetts. Win.
Okay. All right,
so we're at 7 wins. So nice. In theory, you'll have to only stretch 2 to get them to 9.
That Duke game is up in the air. I don't think Duke is that good.
You don't?
Nah, I mean,
I really like where this guy is going. I like where Elko's going.
Yeah, I'm not giving him that. If they flip one, I didn't have him winning at Boston College, which I think they could do, and then they need to flip one that doesn't.
I think they could take BC. I think that'll be fine.
Yeah. And then they need a miracle for the 9th.
They need NC State, probably.
Game 1? Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Game 1 where they come out and just go, Razzmatazz! Like, you know, NC State's like, oh, what? Shit! I lost.
That's also a Thursday game, which feels very NC State to lose to UConn to open the season on August 31st. Anyway.
It does, doesn't it?
Indiana. This is going to be a little easier to start. Ohio State.
No.
I guess
Indiana
not.
State.
Probably. Yes.
Okay.
Probably.
Louisville.
Ooh, no. Huh. No,
that's,
they don't
that's
win.
Okay, what if that's this is in the start Indianapolis of a, at Lucas
this is the
Oil
start
Stadium.
Of a great rivalry.
Okay, ooh. Sure. Sure.
Ooh. I'm sorry, I forgot that Louisville had I forgot it's not Satterfield anymore.
It's not Satterfield.
They're not going to have this.
Okay, so 1-2. Akron.
When?
September 23rd. Oh, you said win, not win.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, gotcha. All right, 2-2. Maryland.
When?
Maryland.
Oh.
L.
Okay, 2-3. Michigan.
L.
2-4.
L.
Rutgers.
Dub!
3-4. Penn State.
L.
3-5. Wisconsin.
L.
3-6. Illinois.
Oh. This might be the swing game. You know what? No. I don't think they could do it.
No. L.
3-7. Michigan State.
Dub.
We're going to get some emails.
4-7. Purdue.
Dub.
Okay.
No.
Even so, it's not even close. Like, if you're optimistic to win to close the season, Indiana is still only at 5 wins. So, you by your own admission... You okay. think UConn is much closer to 9-win territory, and I think you're probably right. Mm.
I thought I was being pretty charitable.
Yikes,
and then
Peter.
If we have 9-win UConn, we're not really that far away from playoff UConn, are we?
Oh,
you see how we slowly talk ourselves into January 1st UConn?
Mm-hmm. We're frog-boiling ourselves live on the air. Hey, let's move on to another prediction because I'm scared.
UConn beats Tennessee.
Why would that scare me?
Yeah, I just wanted to.
You want to know how
I
got
these wanted
scars?
I just wanted it to go in the Library of Congress.
If a DB,
you
want to
see
has,
how I got these scars?
If a DB has a football embedded in their chest and they stumble 98 yards the other way and die in the end zone, that's TD, right?
Listen. We can joke about UConn, Tennessee, all we want, but
I'm not joking. Do y'all think I'm scared of that possibility?
I just reminded myself today that UMass played Tennessee very close a few years ago with special assistant coach Chris Berman on the sideline.
Yeah, and who was head coaching the other team?
I think that's a Butch year.
You see my problem.
Yeah, okay. Fair.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, moving on. Extraterrestrial Pterodactyl says, after a tactical masterclass by Brett Bielema sees the Illini sends James Franklin with that L back to Happy Valley, Jason Kirk opens a full cast After Dark preaching the gospel of Luke Altmaier. That's a little close to Harold Faltmeyer, and so I'm going to say that I'm gonna ride with this prediction.
So, I only have one. Well, no, here is what's bold about this prediction.
Mm.
Luke Altmaier is a quarterback, and so you're saying that Brett Bielema is going to beat Penn State on the shoulders of a Mississippi State transfer quarterback.
Extraterrestrial Pterodactyl, is it possible that you leaned a little too far into your schematic well just to make a Bible joke? Because if it's true, we respect it.
Yeah, fair. That's what Jason would have done.
It is. All right, moving on. I'm going to read it because it's funny. From John Sequitur, Georgia Tech decides to fire back up the nuclear reactor on campus, and there is a mishap while installing the fuel, irradiating the last full practice before the season begins. The resulting mutations create an unstoppable team that rampages through ACC play. It still loses to Georgia.
Super All mutants right. could run the triple, to be clear.
All right. Dimitri mm-hmm. Dorlis, this next one is genuinely hilarious, and I want to see it happen because I want the headlines. I want the discourse. Pac-12 misses the playoffs one final time as a 6-6 UCLA knocks off USC in a defensive struggle.
No, that could.
I want it.
Not the defensive struggle part. That's the bold part.
I didn't say it was likely or possible on this earth. I said I want it.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
Do you know what a dick move it would be for USC and UCLA to play a major role in destroying the Pac-12's last hope at putting a team in the playoff? I guess that's maybe better for the rest of the Pac-12 than USC.
Pick two programs less likely to trash hotel rooms on their way out of town.
Fair.
Man.
Yeah, so bold defensive struggle, accurate, high. I give that high accuracy.
You think UCLA is going to beat USC?
I'm saying, how's this? Likely?
I want this to happen.
Okay.
Yeah, likely. And I only say this because USC could lose. All right, USC will likely win most of the games on their schedule.
Yeah.
USC is also capable of losing any game on their schedule because of what their defense is.
This is, and again, this is the bold predictions game. This is not, we are not trying to be canny. Nobody has a fucking clue what's going to happen in any of the chalkiest games on the schedule. This is about desire.
It is a little surprising that Alex Grinch got retained at USC, right? Mm. Like, the way, especially in those last two games.
We need Floyd, because what happened there? Because he was the guy for so long.
Floyd's right here. Floyd, what do you think is the story of Alex Grinch's arc? Wow. Never thought about it like that. Thank you, Floyd.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people are saying also, hey, USC got Bear Alexander. They've got a couple of good transfers. I don't care. I've never seen a Lincoln Riley team with a good defense. Mm. I don't really care who you have over there. And frankly, like, the perfect game plan against them is what Tulane did. Mm. I don't know if everyone remembers how funny the Tulane game plan was, but it was literally hang around until they need a stop. They won't get one. That was it. It was. They did not lead in that game until the final drive, and then they scored and won the game. And that's what you have to do with them because the points will be infinite. You could say, "Oh, Caleb Williams was injured in that game. Was he playing corner? Was he a linebacker trying to tackle anyone out of the backfield?"
He had cusses on his knuckles.
He did have cusses on his knuckles. That's why I call him Old Cuss Knuckle.
Oh, that's a great.
That is a great nickname.
Here's another one that's just based purely on desire. Jimbo fired after Vols hang 50 burger on the Aggies in Neyland.
I already called that one.
God,
that's the some bitch one gonna make it through
the year. I haven't been to a Tennessee game in like 8 years.
So,
This is the closest I've ever come to actually wanting to go to one.
So that game comes.
Oh Jesus!
Right after they host Alabama.
It's not a good point in the schedule for that. No.
No. If that happens, I mean, yeah.
Cool. Let's see. We'll have to see if Alabama can snap Tennessee's streak first, but you know,
I that is bold. I think the
you think
bold
it's
part,
bold that Tennessee which part the Tennessee Hanks
the bold
50
part
or
is
the
that
firing?
They would fire him after that
yeah.
game.
Okay,
that's the bold part. The 50 is not, and I think if I just said three words to you, or four words to you, you would probably understand how bold that is, and that would be interim coach Bobby Petrino.
Does it have to? All right, let's do this. Does it have to be Bobby?
No, that's just the funniest outcome.
Like
no,
who,
it might be one of his other offensive coordinators.
Like. Oh, man, the other choices are not great. DJ Durkin, nope, shouldn't do that.
Look at
shouldn't
all the head that. Coaching experience in that room.
There's Steve one Adazio. Person that definitely
shouldn't do that.
Just among, I know we've talked about their secret Santa, but just like a genuinely unpleasant group of guys to share a van with.
Imagine the bathroom.
A lot of men who store stress in their colon is what I'm hearing.
I'm going to blow right past that by bringing in WPF suggestion. Somehow, Stetson returned.
Okay, so I want to go back to I want to answer this one by going back to the last one. There's a cocoon situation here.
Wait, where, cocoon the movie or cocoon the scientific thing?
No, where before if Jimbo is the scientific thing, where
no,
if Jimbo
I'm less
before,
interested in it not being cocoon the movie.
Where to survive the winter, Jimbo is fired and Bobby Petrino is appointed offensive interim and then becomes head coach, but he understands he has to delegate play calling, so he hires Jimbo Fisher as offensive coordinator, who then becomes interim when Petrino is fired the next year, and then they just keep
and
coaching
him.
Could
not possibly be improved with the addition of Steve Guttenberg.
I wouldn't do that
to Steve.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, I liked him on Party Down.
Yeah, he's in great shape. So yes, to answer that.
Oh, here's a fun one from Brody Logan. All the exiting teams are deemed ineligible for the conference title game.
Good Lord.
They should do that.
They should absolutely do this.
Yeah.
That'd be so funny. We're ruining everything. Let's put our whole hands in the batter.
The problem is, in the Pac-12 at least, you don't even have a majority voting control anymore. So the exiting teams could actually vote the opposite.
Mm. What
Which,
if they,
oh, the, man. The, oh, the no. Pac- Cal's not going to make
really
the Pac-12 championship.
That,
the
what if they vote no because they don't want... Is it... It's not still there anymore. In a long ago year, I would have counted on them voting not to go just because nobody wants to play in Santa Clara.
Santa Clara, yeah.
Is it in Vegas? Is it in Vegas?
That's why I said prior year, yeah. But thank you for joining us on the Shutdown Fullcast. Spencer.
I really want to go to the Pac-12 championship this year.
Hey, do you guys know what Harbaugh's first game back is?
Rutgers. Hmm.
Yeah, it's Rutgers.
Yep.
So does College Football Guy, who says Rutgers upsets Michigan on Harbaugh's first game back.
That's bold.
Can we talk about Greg Schiano? I know we don't want to. But
we can
like,
do a lot of things.
Greg Schiano has not done a goddamn thing since he took the Rutgers job again.
And they sure did passionately want him there.
This is the number of conference games that Rutgers has won since he returned. He returned in the COVID year. 3-2-1.
That's... Blast off!
This is not good. Knights don't belong on the moon. Oh, wait. Moon Knight. Yes, they do, actually. Never mind.
What you see is decline. I see is countdown to liftoff, baby.
Rutgers is the true space school.
Uh-huh.
Oh, shit.
Rutgers is about to soar, baby, like only a guy on a horse can't.
It's like I am
they keep sliding too, like place wise 5th 6th,
yes,
7th,
yes. and like, oh man, enough bad things have been said about Rutgers that we don't need to
let's add a few
point.
More oh.
But if Greg Schiano can't fix it, what's plan B?
So you might go, hey, but maybe he's getting it done on the recruiting trail.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't, but sure, you might. One might.
But yes, person I just made up. you definitely say he's getting it done on the recruiting trail. Currently being out recruited by Wake Forest, Houston, Duke, Vandy, UCF. Respect to UCF. They saw Rutgers encroaching on the space territory. Right now, by the way, for 2023, being out recruited by Headless Northwestern at 47.
He has 5 years left
on his
contract.
Headless body in a topless conference.
to recap, Craig Schiano, when hired by Rutgers, and I think he maybe co-defensive coordinator at Ohio State before that? Might not have had a job.
Yeah, he was a co-defensive coordinator for the team that Iowa hung 50 on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rutgers gave him an 8-year contract. 8 years of Greg Schiano. We're only through three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Yep. Also has a house on campus. It's like built out of a little slice that they basically annexed. Schiano
basically
has
like Baba
his
Yaga's
little
house, and he can like make it run away on its chicken
How
legs.
Many princes have you slain today, coach?
Sit down, Greg Shadow's house. I have recruiting news. Just runs away.
Oh my God, Jason Aldean is Baba Yaga. I got to question my heritage.
Is that all the bold takes we have?
Oh no. Okay, oh no. I just ran across the most upsetting one I've seen yet. And the only comfort I have is that it's going to upset Spencer even more.
Oh God.
Ladd McConkey, Heisman finalist. See the look he's giving right now. I thought you were going to come over the desk. I didn't write it.
I want to preface what I'm going to say.
Reader usual, Cal wrote it.
I want to preface what I'm going to say with at least five like preconditions for understanding this. Ladd McConkey's a great athlete. Ladd McConkey's done nothing wrong.
Watch, listener. As
here we go.
I absolutely.
As the chrysalis peels back.
I absolutely hate that this is possible.
How is this possible? How?
If Carson Beck manages to be as good as Stetson Bennett and in the passing game, right? Like I don't think he's going to be as good in the whole run game, moxie, et cetera. But if he's a productive passer, he's going to need a guy who's going to be his Hunter Renfrow, if you will, right? His dude who's his outlet on every single pass. Now, normally that'd be Brock Bowers, but Brock Bowers is going to be absolutely double covered every single time he goes off the line. That's not going to really limit a whole lot of what he can do, but it will leave somebody open. You know who it's going to leave open? Fucking Ladd McConkey. And I'm going to have to say the name Ladd McConkey, which is a real name that a real person has. It's going to irritate me for no reason. None. He's done nothing wrong. I'm the problem here.
From Pregame Empire. Miami, Ohio beats Miami, Florida and immediately starts an NIL fund called Death Wallet.
Yeah.
I love it.
Death Wallet is 100% a Nicolas Cage film. 100%.
One that he made in like 2017 when the Bills were really hitting him.
Made out of iguana skin.
Shot live in Bulgaria.
You're like, wow. Poorly CGI'd Buddy Hackett co-stars in Death Wallet with Nicolas Cage.
Ah, what you doing? You call it a Death Wallet?
I can listen. I know that we can say this about so many games, but I think it would be really hard to find a single game on the schedule that would. I can think of one. But I'm not sure there's another game that would send another fan base into an absolute fucking internal feeding frenzy than if Miami lost to other Miami, parenthetical Miami.
Miami on Miami crime.
It would absolutely rip South Florida to shreds. The only game that I think comes close, if Auburn starts the Hugh Freeze tenure by losing to UMass at home... That's going to be bad. That's going to be quite bad. But even that, I think, probably doesn't touch Miami losing the rights to Miami. Like,
Oh,
absolute
man.
Shit show.
If UMass beat Auburn, it's God's plan. Sorry. It's God's plan.
Let's see. What else we got in here? All right, I got three words for you from Noah Hikes. Bo Nix Heisman.
Plausible.
Why?
I didn't write these.
This is not bold. First of all, I mean, it's not necessarily super.
They already
likely,
did the Times Square campaign. This isn't bold. As the culmination of a journey, I find it pleasing.
Why do we do the ads in Times Square? Why is that a thing?
I assume it's because that's where the Heisman ceremony is.
But it wasn't always. A relatively new thing.
I mean, it is. I don't know. It is the obvious homage to Joey Harrington's. Right. And since Nike effectively does in-house marketing for Oregon, it's probably an allusion to that. Why do they do it? I don't know. I've decided to stop worrying about how people spend their money, like how large corporations. Why did Nike do that? Why is Oregon doing that? I don't know. They're stupid.
Thinking about it, I'm just like, why would you sit down and be like, you know who needs to get involved in this Heisman campaign? Tourists going to see Wicked. That's who we got to get on board with Bo Nix, Heisman candidate.
Loathing.
So I was headed to, what is a restaurant in Times Square?
Bubba Gum.
Bubba Gum Shrimp Company.
Bubba Gum. So we were going to
Bubba
Gum.
I've been on a date there.
Was it with your wife?
No.
Good. Was it recently, and do we need to talk?
That's not what I meant.
Neither of us.
Bubba Gump adultery is like the worst fucking thing.
Bigamy Gump.
Oh, kidding, no.
She Bubba on my gump till I shrimp.
That's the worst YouTube thumbnail I've ever heard. Cooked at Bubba Gump's? With your face like... Shocked looking.
I'm upset.
I got tased by my wife's boyfriend at Bubba Gump's. But yeah, so you're on your way to get tased by your wife's boyfriend when they're going to enjoy a nice edition of Hamilton, right? And you look up and you go, oh, Bo Nix. I should definitely be more aware of Bo Nix for Heisman because I'm a Heisman voter.
I'm a Heisman voter.
Right. I'm going to be getting arrested by NYPD after my wife's boyfriend was like, sir, leave us be, tasing me.
The worst part is he makes me pay the bill.
Yeah. and I like it. That's what I hate myself most for. Hope you guys have a nice time.
It is also a little funny because it's like Joey Harrington finished fourth in the Heisman ballot the year that he got that billboard. So it's like, I don't know if this is what, and it's fine. Bo Nix is going to do great on the Lions.
It's very outdated. It's like, we need to send a cassette tape, a VCR, a VHS VCR tape to people to tell
but
them.
But the 90s are back, and it's fine.
That would be cool until everybody was like, I want to see what's on this tape. Shit. I got to go buy a VCR.
Let's see. Does Best Buy sell VCRs? Hold on.
While you're doing that, I'm going to read King of Tide's prediction, which is the Texas team with the best record will be UNT.
I won't bet against it.
That's only the second
what
most
is, What is UTSA's schedule?
Yeah, the Roadrunners would be my primary concern there.
Yeah, but notice none of us are even entertaining the notion that that might be a problematic assumption for the Longhorns.
Mm. UTSA has to play. UTSA has to play in non-conference. Houston, Army, and Tennessee, which is a real weird combo. They got to play at Tulane. Okay, maybe. Okay, VCR at Best Buy.
VCRs are weirdly expensive. I looked them up the other day because we were trying to find old weightlifting tapes on eBay.
VCR. Best Buy will sell you a VCR cleaner, which is just a VCR tape that you like put some goo on or whatever, and it will clean the VCR for you. It does not appear that they will actually sell you a VCR player, though.
I've looked on Amazon, and they're like $400.
So yeah, I think we should move this podcast to mostly VCR distribution.
Listen, buddy, for $60, I can get you a Daewoo DVD VCR combo, the combo of the future.
Blockbuster.com is still registered for some reason. That's true.
Redirects.
Wait, is the one at Gitmo still open?
There's a Blockbuster at Gitmo?
Oh, there's a whole like documentary about this. The last freestanding brick-and-mortar Blockbuster was in Guantanamo Bay.
What?
Pretend I said no, that. No, it's I'm in not, Oregon. This sounds like something I would make up.
It's in Bend, Oregon, the last brick-and-mortar Blockbuster.
Oh, that does figure. One of our truly most psychotic readers of all time came from there.
The Gitmo of Oregon.
Hey, let's check in with reader Matt Berry, who says that San Diego State will win more Pac-12 games than Colorado.
Time to go to the schedule.
Time to go to the schedule.
All right, San Diego State football schedule.
We love
is
to
it
count.
Is it more than one?
We love to count.
All right, I'm just going to tell you their Pac-12
Are
games.
You embarrassed?
September 9th, home against UCLA.
It's a win.
For whom?
San Diego State.
Okay. September 16th, a week later, on the road at Oregon State.
Loss.
That's it.
Okay, yeah, so that's more.
Yeah, so you think Colorado is not going to win a single Pac-12 game this year?
Ofer. Ofer. They are, oh my God, they are so small. Like, if you see them, like, on the field, if you looked at their fight, it kind of looked like a high school fight. They just have guys who, like, they got a lot of good dudes through the portal. They just have a lot of players who haven't developed yet, and they're going to get, like, I've said it before, but I'm really terrified of what Utah could do to them. You know, I don't think Deion's going to make it. I just don't. I think he's just, that is just not the job that he thought he took. He did not know it was going to be this bad.
Does anyone remember who the single Pac-12 Colorado beat last year?
Ooh, here's a follow-up prediction from Cam Beck. Colorado has fewer than 80 active players in its roster by Thanksgiving.
How many do they have now?
Don't know. Probably less than that.
Hold on.
Who did they beat last year?
The answer is Cal. Guess who's not on the schedule this year?
Cal.
The answer is Cal.
Yeah. So zero.
Okay.
I mean, that's the thing that's really sad is they're definitely a better football team after this offseason. And after Deion gutted the roster, they're definitely better. And they're still not going to win. Meaning the roster they had would have gotten even worse.
Okay.
Movement. All right. Two more. Here's from Don. This isn't bold or reckless, but funniest to me personally would be Louisville getting exactly 8 wins again this year. I would actually love the schedule. I didn't mean to steer us into this much counting, but this does seem...
Counting is good.
The first reply to this is twice as many wins as the men's basketball team.
Good God.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, let's do it. Louisville schedule. Who's excited?
Batter out. Okay, this is the last counting we have because the last one, I think, is just going to drop us all.
I got good news for you beakheads.
All right.
For you toothed bird
Stop
heads.
It. Stop it.
Birds with human teeth ascendant.
Georgia Tech.
Yes, that's the good news. 1-0.
Uno.
Murray State.
2-0.
Indiana.
3.
Boston College.
4.
NC State.
4.
In Raleigh.
4.
4, baby. 4.
Notre Dame.
4.
Pitt.
4. 5.
5.
Okay. That
Duke.
Pains
me.
6. No.
Virginia Tech.
Okay, let's do one between Duke and Pitt.
Okay.
We'll go 1-1 with Duke and Pitt.
So 5?
Okay. Yeah.
Virginia Tech.
6.
Virginia.
7.
7.
They're so bad.
Miami.
8.
In Coral Gables.
8. And then
lose to Kentucky.
You'll be like, man,
dude, this is doable.
Yeah, no, this is totally doable. And you say like, oh man, how's Miami gonna beat them? And I'm like, do you trust Brohm or do you trust Cristobal more in a situation where you're like, well, we got to make something happen, like in terms of getting that team in a position to succeed? That's I don't. Yeah, 8. I think they could do 8.
Okay.
Interesting.
Am I or am I not the coach of the Louisville Cardinals?
All right, you ready for the last one?
Last one.
Right from the last one. Reader Ethan, this is genuinely upsetting, but I feel like it's our job to confront and answer the hard questions. Turns out Bobby Petrino was the missing piece to a successful A&M run through the SEC.
Is it bold? Honestly, I don't think it is. I really don't.
It sure is upsetting.
If you just ask that guy to call plays.
It's funny. Like, this is, and this is something we have not confronted. We have not confronted this all offseason. All we have done is have all of our fun with how much this is not going to work, ignoring the looming specter in the room of how unfunny it's going to be if this fucking works.
What do you think would make Jimbo crazier?
Oh, absolutely this working.
Another bad year.
He's got money either way.
Another bad year or...
having to depend on Bobby.
Dozens of columns about Bobby Petrino, football genius, who saved little old Jimbo.
Jimbo ascends to his place as a rehabber. Well, Jimbo could ascend to his spot now as the new rehabber of lost coaches. He takes
it's
over.
Just like Saban.
He takes over,
right?
Saban's
just
school
like Saban.
For wayward boys.
I think there is a scenario where West Virginia fires Neil Brown. A&M is better with Bobby Petrino. And Jimbo hates this so much, he goes and takes the West Virginia job. He cannot fucking stand it.
With all that money, yeah.
Yep.
Yep. If West Virginia as a university is still standing at that time.
They offer three courses.
No, they have to have four, one for each letter in STEM.
I don't know. I don't know, honestly.
Science tickles.
Energy.
Like, haven't we learned
that? And meat.
And mountains. And Morlocks.
Meat, mountains, Morlocks.
I got your meat mountains right here.